Welcome to today's episode of On the Rocks. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Ira Gostin, the Vice President of Investor Relations for IR Labs. Ira is an investor relations and capital market strategist with a dynamic background in marketing, media, and entrepreneurship. He's worked on over $1 billion in equity raises throughout his career and is equally at ease navigating the intricacies of the stock exchange floor in a suit and tie as he is donning safety gear and a hard hat at a mine site. The University of Nevada, Reno's Innovation Center recently named Ira their first marketing strategist in residence, where he mentors founders and business startups. Ira's home base is Reno, Nevada, with his wife, Erin, adult children, and dogs. He's a baseball enthusiast, coffee aficionado, and Formula One racing fan. In his spare time, he and his wife travel the West with dogs and kayaks, enjoying the outdoors. With that, pour a drink and let's dive in. Awesome. Well, Ira, so glad to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us on the Rocks. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and are you having anything to drink? We typically ask our guests if they're having a cocktail or a coffee.
Well, I'm past the coffee stage, so I'm having kind of a Nevada drink today. I've got a nice bourbon on the rocks from Frey Ranch. And
Oh.
looking forward to that.
Oh, very nice. Awesome. Well, I'm midway through my afternoon, so I haven't switched over to bourbon yet. I'm drinking the old standby Celsius, which our listeners know is my current favorite energy drink. So I'll be joining you with the bourbon shortly, though, since it is Friday that we're recording after all.
Is.
Well, Ira, could you? I'd love to have you just explain to our listeners just a little bit about your background and how you ended up doing whatever it is that you do in IR.
Yeah, so I'm an investor relations strategist, and the lingo is IRO. So if I say that, it's investor relations officer. It sounds very formal, so I don't use that. But I've been in mining IR for a little over 15 years, and but my background is marketing and communications. So I've been a storyteller my whole life. And I just sort of fell into mining. Had an opportunity to join a company called Tahoe Resources, a Canadian company with offices in Reno, where I live. And we built a silver mine in Guatemala. And I've been after that, we got acquired, and I went to a gold company, and I've worked since in different companies as an advisor, strategic advisor. And most recently, I just joined the team at IR Labs out of Vancouver. And we're a full service investor relations advisory firm. And I'm having a blast, and I'm getting to work with some different kinds of companies. But mining is still my core, and getting ready for PDAC here soon. So, but that's where my heart is. So.
Well, you must have seen it all working in the mining industry for over 15 years. You've seen all the peaks and valleys at this point.
Definitely. And it's funny because when you come in, there's so many people that have been in this industry for 40 or 50 years, and the stories, and I listen to every story because there's always some little learning thing in there. But what I do every day is help companies tell their own story, help CEOs tell their story to investors.
And I don't know about you, but I find in mining we do have great storytellers, right? And we have great stories. I mean, we do really cool stuff in really cool places around the world and really quirky people and wonderful people that do it. But sometimes it's a challenge to get people to talk about what they do in that story type format. Do you find that, or how has that worked for you?
No, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people, they're engineers of some level, or engineers and geologists, and they have a get to work, get down to work, get results attitude, which is great. But at the same time, when you have investors and stakeholders and shareholders, you've got to communicate what's going on to them. So, as an IRO, it's my job to be able to get that general manager, that you know, underground manager, comfortable to tell me what's going on, and then for me to be okay and say, hey, you know what, I'm not an engineer, I'm not a geologist, help me understand that better. I want to learn. And, you know, way back I was a journalist and I have that curiosity. So that curiosity helps me get the story, you know, out of those engineers and geologists so that I can put it together and share it.
That's such a great point, because I think when IR is done really well, it helps provide so much clarity. Right, it's about giving clarity to investors about what's going on and all the important things they need to understand. But it's if you can't kind of be inquisitive and get to those details, because the majority of investors, at least at a retail level, aren't typically engineers or folks that have worked in the industry. Right, like you got to do some of that translating.
And right now we're in what they're calling the Robin Hood era. So retail is a lot of the magnitude of importance in retail is much greater than any time, you know, and as far as I know. And so it means that companies need to think a little bit more about the shareholders. It used to be where all you were worried about was institutional shareholders and analysts. But now you may have a big shareholder that is just a guy or a gal that has it in their portfolio. And they might need different information. And one of the things coming from a marketing background that I bring is I look at who the audience is. So if we're a gold company, are you talking to different generations? Are you talking to baby boomers? Are you talking to millennials? They get information differently. And that's a huge part of the storytelling, is understanding who your audience is and how they get information.
And where do you see, within the mining industry in particular, are there certain places where you see consistent confusion, like things that companies maybe do that, you know, that they could really improve on if they just understood how confusing it was?
So, you know, one of the things is, you know, quarterly earnings press releases. They're a disaster.
Really?
Well, you know, and you have that background. So, you know, you can look at that. I mean, I can look at it for about the first page and follow along. But as it gets deeper and deeper, it gets more technical and more technical. And it's not just mining. It's any kind of, you know, biopharmaceutical technology, anything that's very specific. Yeah, I mean, just this very technical, whatever the tech is. And so what I'm seeing now in IR as a whole, as an industry, companies are putting out big brands, Hyatt, Home Depot, they're putting out a one-page infographic. They're still putting out their quarterly press release, but they're also putting out an infographic that now speaks to a different generation. So if you're a company and you want to really target different generations, you need to communicate to them. So I see an opportunity in mining for us to have CEOs start doing updates on TikTok. It's, you know, Gen Z, they're starting to get out there in the workforce, which means they're going to start having investment soon. Millennials, here's a fun fact. Millennials are the largest holder of physical gold. They've surpassed baby boomers.
Really?
So I mean, I read this and I was blown away, because you don't think of a millennial as being someone that wants to hold gold, but they see the advantage to it. They see the hedge, the investment opportunity. So they've surpassed baby boomers. As an investor, you want to have tools. Prospector, great tool for investors. If you're in the mining space, You want to go look and see the information without all the stuff around it. So it's just it's a place to go to find information and help you make better decisions. As an IRO, it's up to us to help shareholders find that information, get that information with clarity so that they can understand the story. One of my favorite little gee whiz facts is a story resonates 22 times greater in the brain than a bulleted list of facts and figures. So when you present a good story, when your CEO can tell a story and tie all of the quarterly earnings information into the story, you're going to grab that shareholder with greater impact than you would just giving them a sheet of paper with, or a digital sheet with a bunch of bullets on it.
No, that makes so much sense. And in fact, like I'm just reflecting back on my own experience, and part of what drew me into, you know, the earth sciences, in fact, was that geology really is all about stories, right? The stories of how those rocks came to be where they are and came to be what they are, right? And I mean, that's one of the things that I oftentimes say I wish folks in the industry would recognize more, that even just telling the story of why you have a resource in the place that you do is actually like fascinating. You know what I mean? Like, it's actually really cool how that gold got there. And when you kind of put it in that reference and then putting it in the context of how something gets built and how a company is operating and all the wonderful things that they're doing. I had never thought about it from that perspective, but that makes a whole lot of sense. And side note, I wonder if all those millennials are buying physical gold at Costco, because I had no idea up until a few months ago that Costco sells gold.
And they sell out all the time. Like you can only find it. But I mean, it's a thing. I mean, the fact that Costco said, wow, you know, because they do a lot of research. They know, you know, they know everything about everyone that buys a hot dog. And, you know, they know who's buying tube socks and who's buying this or that. But I've gone online a couple times just to see what the pricing was, and they've been sold out.
Yeah, that's what I keep getting, like the, you know, my Costco emails, and they're like, you know, come, and then like 2 or 3 days later, it's gone. And I would love to see analytics on like sales of gold through Costco mapped to certain geographies, right? I think it would be fascinating to start to understand where people buy physical gold at Costco more than other locations and start marketing gold company investments.
We'll have to find a grad student that wants a project.
Right? You can start doing your online ad buys for the gold mining companies in those areas, and you might get a lot more traction.
Yeah. You know, to go back to your comment about the whole geology thing, you know, when I started at Tahoe Resources, I had never taken, I mean, I took a chemistry class once, I think, and that was it. And I didn't know geology from anything. And the mine construction makes sense to me because it's physics. My mine geologist at Tahoe, you know, took me under his wing. But he figured out very quickly to tell me stories. And then when he started telling me stories about how the earth was formed and how the deposits were formed, like, this is fascinating, cool stuff. And we don't really hear enough about it because for the most part, geologists want to go do their work. They don't want to have conversations, right? So, you know, there's a few of you out there, but there's not enough sharing going on. But, you know, if you're an IRO at a company and you've got this cool deposit or a resource, it's like there's a story in there that you can share, and you will grab people and you will create a physical reaction. They will get into the story. They'll have a dopamine release. They will be like, I'm into this. This is cool stuff. That's what an IRO's job is. There's a lot of other stuff we do. We plan stuff. We put parties on. We do dinners. We put out press releases. We answer a lot of phone calls. But at the core of it is the telling the company story.
So on that topic, what are, maybe give us five key things or a few key things that investors should pick up the phone and talk to IR teams about? Because that's a huge part of what y'all do, right? Is talk to investors. So what, you know, if someone's new to the space, maybe they just started investing in mining, or they're looking at potential companies to invest in, and maybe they're a retail investor in particular, what kind of things should they ask you about?
So I have a list, actually. So so I've got six things that, and we'll talk about the asking the IRO. But so the first thing to do is, as you're looking at companies, subscribe to their newsletter. And, you know, every modern mining company should have a monthly or a quarterly newsletter, not just sending out press releases, but there's other things that go on that you want to know about. Create, you know, so, I mean, I have my own portfolio and, you know, besides client work, I have Google alerts set up for all of them. I want to see what's going on. Are they popping into the news? Is there something I should know about? Because unless this is your full-time job, you can't monitor everything. So that's the first thing, is kind of understand what they're saying and what's being said about them. Manage the amount of time. You have to listen to the chatter. There's lots of places. There's bulletin boards. You know, there's Reddit. There's things that you can subscribe to. You limit your amount of time on them, but you should be aware of what other people are saying. Did somebody talk to XYZ Co. at a conference? Was the CEO there? Or, you know, were they not really there? They were kind of dismissive because you were a retail shareholder. So, you know, kind of pay attention to how you're being communicated to. Look at the company's pitch deck. Every mining company has a deck. And are they telling a story? Are they giving you information that you can understand? And you shouldn't have to be an engineer or mining engineer or geologist to understand a company's deck. If it's just not something that you can grasp, that's when you're going to want to get on the phone with the IRO and say, okay, I looked at your deck, but can you give me sort of the high level overview? Why should I invest in your company? Sadly, I heard of companies that don't return phone calls. That could be something. Yeah. Do you want to invest in a company that doesn't care about you as a shareholder? As a shareholder, you need to be responsible. You can't be calling them every day and asking, you know, 10 questions a day. But the information's out there. And then you need to understand the math and the finances. The best place to go is the MD&A. The MD&A is a narrative to the financial.
What does MDMA mean?
So it's management discussion and analysis. So when you go to a company's website and you look under fourth quarter 2023 results or news, it'll have the end of quarter press release, and then it will have the MD&A. And the MD&A is sort of a written version, a little more of a story of the financial results. So instead of it just giving you a bullet that said, we grossed this, we netted this, this is what it, you know, it's in written language. It's a much better tool to get a feeling of the company. It also talks about the risks. Every mining company has risks. So how do they mitigate them? Do they have country risks? Do they have other risks? All of those things are outlined in the MD&A. Sadly, it's just not something many shareholders look at, but it's there for you to download and look at all day long. And then the last thing is really read third-party commentary. Newsletter writers, analysts, a lot of analysis from the analysts is not public. So you have to dig around a little bit. Companies aren't supposed to publish them, but there are retail analysts that publish their work or you can subscribe to. If, let's say, you have an account at TD or BMO or RBC, you can ask for their analysts' coverage of something you're thinking about investing in. They will share that with you if you have an account there. So there's a lot of places to get information, but really call us. And I'm, you know, saying us as IROs in general, call us or send an email to the IR address and say, I would really like to have a 15-minute call and have you give me an overview of the company and why I should invest, and see how your response is. And if this then is a company you feel strongly about.
Yeah, I would say it is one of the things I tell all my friends who aren't in the industry that I think is super unique about our industry is how accessible it is to individual investors. Like, you can pick up the phone and talk to the IR teams. You can, in many cases, you can get on the phone with the CEO, right? With the IR team and be like, through this. I mean, how many other industries out there does an executive get on the phone and explain what's going on in the field to an individual shareholder, right? I mean, I think it's a really unique quality about our industry that I think comes from how, especially in the exploration side, right? The exploration or junior companies.
When I worked with junior companies, I loved the fact that the CEO would come to a conference and stand in the booth with me. And, you know, somebody would come up and ask, or I'm grabbing them as they're walking by, and like, well, let's talk to the CEO. The CEO's here. You know, can you imagine going to a tech conference and the CEO of Microsoft standing in the booth? Not going to happen. So it is pretty cool. And we do have this amazing industry that I always joke about this around Super Bowl time. The mining industry should have a commercial, and it should just have, you know, this year it'd be Patrick Mahomes standing in a field with his hand in the air, because without mining, that's all there is. There's no trophy. Yeah. There's no stadium. There's no helmets. There's no uniforms. There's nothing. And mining brings all that to people. And we have to do a better job as an industry of talking about it and helping people understand that the old days are gone. We're responsible mining companies, care about our environment and care about our people. And we move forward the best that we can to provide.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's where we talk a lot on this podcast about the fact that we as an industry can't build all the mines that we're going to need for the future, right? With the demand that's forecasted in order to support the green energy revolution, low carbon economy, just the general electrification of the planet, right? And improving the global kind of standard of living. We can't build all of those mines with just the capital that is currently floating around in the mining space, right? We have to attract new capital to come in. And we can't do that if we just continue to talk about the industry and our projects in the same old way, right? Because folks have other options. I mean, I know, especially we try not to get too time specific with the podcast in case folks are listening at other times. But like, you know, there's this huge disconnect right now between like gold prices and prices of gold companies, right? Why is that? In the past, they've been really aligned. And in fact, it's, you know, a lot of folks say it's because investors have other options right now, right? I mean, they can go into other spaces. So how do we convince people, come into our industry, invest in our companies, don't just go into tech or crypto or all these other things. We've got to attract money.
And you know, the junior space overall is very undervalued. The opportunities are there. And, you know, you were saying about the fact that we don't have enough, there's not enough mines. Living in Nevada, we're next door to California, and I grew up in California, but love Nevada. But their governor talked about how he wanted to have California completely electric vehicles by 2035. Yeah. Okay, well, that's 11 years from now. And the industry has said there's not enough identified battery materials to even make that happen. Not enough mines. There's not just enough identified deposits to make, California is, I think, the fifth largest market for vehicles in the world. Can't happen. It's a great soundbite, but let's do something. Let's help companies get permitted faster and move forward, and you know, keep those regulations where they are, but not overreach, and help companies get mines started.
Absolutely. And on that side, what are some things that, especially for a generalist investor who's new to the space, do you have any tips of things that they should look at when they're kind of looking to come in to mining for the first time?
You know, little silly stuff. How accessible is the CEO? One of the things that I look at is the CEO all in?
Yeah.
Is the CEO's net worth this company? You know, is he or she bootstrapped and done everything? You know, there are companies and, you know, mining and other sectors, the CEO just has the stock that they were given when they started. That's not enough buy-in for me. I want to see more skin in the game. That's all easy to find. You know, is the CEO's bonus larger than the entire rest of the payroll for the company? Not a company I want to invest in. Like, that's, you know, it's, if you can get it, that's great. But I want to see a little more care for the rest of the team. And so little things like that. Really be a human being. Be curious, ask questions, look at something, and be curious about that. And when I first started working in investor relations, I had a few investments, and they were, you know, ridiculous. You know, AT&T. I think I'd had AT&T stock since I was 10. But so I decided to build a fund. So I took some money out of the bank, and I am like, okay, here's my fund requirements. They have to be U.S. company, because I didn't want it to get too complicated. The CEO had to have, you know, a stake in this. And it has to be something that I have some kind of relationship with. So, so for instance, I bought Tumi luggage because I love their backpacks and stuff. And it was the biggest mistake I made. They were a dog for a while.
Oh, really?
And I sold them. And then they got bought by Samsonite like 3 weeks after I sold it. So, but while I was building this portfolio, and again, it was, I mean, it wasn't a huge amount of money. It was just, you know, 5 shares here, 10 shares here. I did put some Tesla in it. I didn't have a relationship with Tesla, but my son is an electrical engineer and he's a huge Tesla fan. So that was my connection to this. But I found as I'm buying these stocks, like my palms are sweating, you know, I'm starting to see a physical, like my breaths are racing. Like I'm having physical reaction to buying stock. It was a very interesting test. I have other stuff now, but I still have that little core of my portfolio, with the exception of Tumi. So I lost out on that one.
Well, I've been asking everybody, Ira, everyone who kind of listens knows my last question. We've talked about things that investors can do, companies can do, but if you could just wave a magic wand and overnight change one thing about the whole industry, what would you change?
You know, I think access to capital would be the thing that I want to say. There's a lot of amazing little companies out there. They've got a cool deposit. They've got some great results, and it's a real struggle right now for them to get financed. And there's a lot of hoping and praying, and you know, we'll get two holes and maybe we'll be able to go. And I wish it was a little bit easier. I love this industry. I'm so grateful for the fact that it found me, and I'm thrilled to be part of it. And I would love to be able to see some of these you know, microcap juniors have a little bit easier time to get their deposit moving forward.
Amen to that. I think what we should do, Ira, is create, I just wrote it down, create an amazing little company fund.
I love it.
because you're right. I mean, there's so many great teams out there doing stuff at the very beginning, and a little bit of capital goes such a long way, right, with some of these companies. So I would encourage folks, if they're, you know, certainly to go find some of those amazing little companies. And I always reference it as my try something different budget line item. You know, maybe you've never invested in a mining or exploration company before, but just allocate a small amount of capital, small amount of your investment budget, and go try something different, right? And see how it works. I think that would be really cool and generate a lot of money for the industry.
I love it.
Because the next big discovery is out there somewhere, right? So,
well, you know, 15, 20 years ago, whoever thought that lithium would be a thing? You know, it's an amazing to watch that industry right now, and the whole critical metals, and you know, I'm definitely a silver guy because that's where I started, and you know, silver is now crossing over into that critical metal, so it'll run.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ira, for coming on, and look forward to having you on again soon, and maybe some of your companies that you're working with. We really look forward to it, and appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.